We are undoubtedly in, and it is perhaps even cliche to say so now, we are undoubtedly in a technological age. I never cease to be amazed by the incredible complexity, depth, and reach of technological development. Over a little more than 100 years, we have gone from horses and buggies to being on the verge of self-driving cars, from being able to do nothing more than gaze puzzledly at birds flying about the sky to sending man into space for months at a time. Technology has opened up vast vistas to human exploration and discovery, distant galaxies and stars and planets, the depths of the ocean, and the nearly invisible world of microscopic creatures, of molecules and atoms and parts of atoms. We are in one long age of rapid discovery, of piling up knowledge. Anything we can see or hear and analyze, we scrutinize, breaking it down and processing it with a fine-toothed comb. The sensation of discovery, of finding something novel out there, is thrilling, and our world pursues this with a nearly frenetic, sensational energy. I suspect, however, that we have allowed this drive for sensational discovery, for something new, to affect our lives and especially our spiritual lives a bit too much. We look for fireworks, for unexplored vistas that are new and bold and full of verve. We want emotion. We want drama. We want to feel the way that God is working in our lives. Even in my short experience in ministry, both as a seminarian and now as a deacon, I cannot tell you just how often someone says to me, "But Deacon, I pray and nothing happens. I try to listen, but I just don't hear anything. Deacon, am I really a disciple of Jesus? I haven't had some sort of radical conversion like St. Augustine." We look for the sensational, the new, the dramatic, out there. After all, it's an age of frenetic discovery. At one point in her autobiography, St. Thérèse of Lisieux is struggling with the fact that she had not had a radical conversion like St. Augustine, the sinner who became the great saint. She had been a dedicated, practicing Catholic since her baptism. She realized, though, as she thought about her life, as she attended to her own life, that God works in several different ways. She realized that sometimes God is like a father walking with his child down a rocky path. If the child trips and falls and scrapes his knee, the father rushes to the child, picks him up, brushes him off, and takes care of the scrapes and bruises. What child is not thankful for this generous and compassionate work of consolation and healing? Sometimes, though, St. Thérèse continues, God is like a father who sees something dangerous up ahead of his child, a jagged rock or a sudden drop-off, and he runs ahead of his child removes the rock, or holds his child's hand to guide him safely away from the drop-off or whatever danger lies ahead, directing his child away from danger, keeping his feet firmly on the path. And the child, focused on the sights and sounds and the excitement of the journey, does not think twice about what the father has done. Sometimes God's grace works like that, removing obstacles or temptations that might cause us to fall into sin. And we rarely think about that. We don't really even notice the ways that God preserves us, protects us. And because of that, we're certainly not often grateful for this hidden, quiet work of God who always looks after his children. It's this hidden, silent work of grace that our gospel wants us to think about today. This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise day and night, and through it all, the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Not only does the farmer not know how, he doesn't even think about how. He just takes for granted that his seeds sprout and blossom and bear fruit. There isn't much dramatic or sensational about farming. This parable is a sober call to be attentive. God's grace, his divine assistance, is often silent, subtle, but intimate, unattended to by us, maybe even ignored and certainly underappreciated. Sometimes God's grace is conveyed through something as simple as the encouragement of a friend, the stern rebuke of a parent that prevents us from making that same mistake again, or the unexplained decision to go to this college over that college, to take this job over that job, to move to this city over that city. What struck St. Therese so profoundly was that maybe if it weren't for grace, she would have gone down the same path as St. Augustine. Grace not only converts, it preserves, it keeps us safe. But we don't think about that very often. And that's what today's gospel is all about. Attentiveness to the less obvious, gentle ways that God draws us to himself and keeps us there. This is the foundation of spirituality, and it requires quiet listening, not to ourselves, as we so often do, but to God. Because the Father is constantly at work in the lives of his children. I can say that, at least for myself, there are few thoughts that overwhelm my heart with deeper gratitude, humility, comfort, and peace. The Father is constantly at work in the lives of his children. But one note of warning. When we start to realize that God reaches down into our lives and is so actively present, there can be a temptation to overcompensate, to stop working hard, to settle, to become purely passive, since after all, it's all about what God does, not so much about what I do. But that's not quite right. You see, despite the fact that the farmer or gardener does not actually make the seeds sprout and the plants grow, farming requires hard work. It requires attentive effort. Watering, fertilizing, pruning, pulling weeds, fending off destructive insects, sometimes putting up fences. The good farmer is an industrious laborer so as to provide the ideal conditions for his plants to thrive. And this is the unspoken message of today's parable. The parable behind the parable. God has willed that not only should we be attentive to the subtle, quiet grace he gives us, but he wants us to prepare ourselves to receive that grace and then to respond to it. That is to say, that we must commit ourselves in a way that is consistent with the gift of grace received and respond to that with a generous and courageous journey of ongoing conversion. That generous, courageous journey of conversion away from sin and toward God is the great adventure of life with Christ. A demanding life, a life of effort with a lofty goal, eternal life with God. But a life in which the assistance of God's grace is ever present, so close as to be almost hidden, working we know not how, but powerful and more consoling than any help the world could ever give.